News Talk 1450 KFIZ. Welcome into hour number two of Fond du Lac today here on a Friday, first Friday in April. And it looks like we got some good weekend weather on the way for the, of course, Easter weekend. And let's welcome in our good friend Steve Olson from the City of Fond du Lac Police Department as we kick off hour number two with Behind the Badge here on a Friday. Steve, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Spencer. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. It's a new month underway, and we've got a nice forecast here for the Easter weekend. So I think a lot of people are probably itching to get outside, right?
There have been tea times made.
That is true.
May, one or two or possibly three may include myself.
Really? Okay. Yeah, there you go.
And, looking forward to some nice weather for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, of course, Easter weekend, so a lot of people probably doing those Easter egg hunts they were told not to have last year amid the pandemic, so probably a lot of candy changing hands, too, and finally somewhat normal Easter as opposed to what we were 365 or so days ago.
Looking forward to it for sure.
So this week, interesting topic, and it might be helpful to some folks what we're going to talk about. It is how to be a good witness is what you told me we were going to talk about this week. And I think there's some folks out there, you know, maybe they witnessed something in their area, or maybe they're a witness to a crash or whatever it may be. Maybe they just don't know what to do or what the process might be to get the information to police. So this should be hopefully a helpful topic for some folks, right?
I hope so. You know, it's something that, again, it kind of just the way the topic came to be for this week's show was earlier in the week I was assisting our detective bureau with locating some witnesses that may have observed a recent incident. And, you know, as I was, you know, talking with different people that did witness this particular event, I was like, man, I'm not sure everyone, you know, even thinks they are potentially a witness or believe that what they have seen is something that would be important for us to know. If I do see something, you know, what do I do? You know, what should I expect if, I do call the police? So that's where the idea came from. And, so let's get started. I love statistics, and you know, they are just that, though. They're statistics, right? But when it comes to being a good witness, statistics have shown that 64% of victims of crimes never report the crime to the police.
Wow.
Over half, think of that, over half of the victims, right? Something has happened to you, a theft, an assault, whatever it is, over half never report the crime, and it can be for a lot of reasons, right? So we think about that. If the victim isn't able or willing to report a crime that's happened to them, it just, to me, puts more emphasis on, if you were the witness for that, the importance of you reporting it. Because even, you know, you witness something, I think people think, oh, well, that, you know, that person is certainly gonna say something. They'll call the police and say something. But there it is, over half never do. So you might be the only person that reports that crime. And so many times, crimes are solved on the sole reason that a citizen told us about it or provided pertinent information that allowed us to solve, you know, that particular crime. You know, it's that partnership that we rely on between our citizens and the police department. I don't know how many times I've said this. There's only, you know, a few police officers really in this, you know, 50,000 person community. My gosh, we can't obviously be everywhere and see everything, but chances are a citizen may have. So really, our citizens are a vital link, you know, to help us solve crimes, especially the ones that go unreported. So, you know, there are certain things, though. What we are not at all advising is that if you witness a crime, that you put yourself in any kind of danger to, you know, get yourself hurt. Mm-hmm. We want, you know, a good witness is using, you know, your opportunity visually to help us apprehend the suspect. So I just want to go into it with that little caveat is use your eyes, be a good, you know, look at, you know, the description of the person, how, you know, approximately how tall are they, what color shirt or jacket or pants are they wearing, maybe a hair color, anything that sticks out, you know, try to lock those things into your memory, and then, you know, call 906-5555, our non-emergency number, or, of course, if it is something, you know, of an emergency type situation, you certainly can call 911. But definitely never put yourself in a situation, you know, where you could be hurt. And that goes as far as even if you were the victim of, you know, maybe a possible car theft or, you know, maybe you're at your home and we get, for whatever reason, we so many reports every year of people, you know, stealing lawn ornaments or, you know, just pieces of property. You know, one thing you got to ask yourself before you run, your instinct might be to run outside and confront that person because that's your stuff, right? And no one should be taking it. But is it really worth, is that piece of property worth you getting hurt?
Right.
Because you have no idea if the person that you are about to confront is potentially, you know, maybe carrying a weapon. So, you know, with property crimes, you know, they're property crimes and, you know, it's unfortunate, but all that property can be replaced. You know, people can't. So again, I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but never put yourself in a position where, you know, you could be harmed.
Yeah. Well, you see that sometimes, say it's like a traffic incident, sometimes like the person, if they're cut off, maybe they'll start chasing after the person that cut them off or was doing something wrong to them or maybe, you know, gave them a certain hand gesture, if you know what I mean, in traffic, they'll try to take the action into their own hands. And that's kind of what you're saying. Don't take the law into your own hands. Call the police and then let the professionals deal with it, right?
Well, absolutely. The you know, your example is so spot on because you, when I was on patrol, I can recall numerous, you know, complaints where a well-minded citizen is on a roadway, the interstate, wherever, and they observe a violation, and maybe it's excessive speed. Well, they then take it upon themselves to keep up with that vehicle, and when they're talking to the dispatcher, you know, speeds are, you know, ridiculous number, you know, amount. You think about what you're doing. You're endangering not only yourself, but all the other people around you when being a good witness in that situation, obtaining a license plate, obtaining a make, model, color of the car, and maybe, you know, how many occupants are in the vehicle, you know, male, female, whatever you can do. You can certainly go your speed, the posted speed limit, or better yet, pull over and get on your cell phone and then call dispatch with that information, a direction of travel where the vehicle was last seen, and let law enforcement go and, you know, find that vehicle. But, you know, so talking about the process, so you witness something, and most of the time people think either, well, like I said before, yeah, someone else will report it, or, geez, maybe I didn't see what I just think I did see. And if I do report this and it turns out to be nothing, well, the police are, they're going to laugh at me. Well, first of all, we're never going to laugh at you for reporting something.
Right.
That you think was a crime or suspicious, and it turns out not to be that. In fact, we love it when that happens because then there was no crime committed. But if you do have to report, you know, a crime, being that good witness also is understanding there is a process to when you call the dispatch center, and they have a series of questions that they have to ask. I just had a citizen ask me the other day. She had called dispatch to report an incident, and the dispatcher was asking a lot of questions that this citizen felt did not at all pertain to what she was reporting. And she was kind of offended by it. Like, why did she keep asking me all these questions? Well, just understand that their computer screen has lots of questions, and they have to ask them in a, you know, certain order. But each of the questions that dispatcher is asking, it's important for you to just, to the best of your ability, answer as quickly as possible. Because while you are on the phone with a dispatcher who's asking you what you're reporting and all of the questions they're going to ask, there's a different dispatcher already radioing an officer to get them going to that location. So I think oftentimes people think, well, if the dispatcher keeps asking me all these questions, they're wasting time, and that's less, you know, that's more time it's going to take for an officer to get here. Just know that there's dual things, you know, going on at the same time. So even if the questions seem, you know, not pertinent to you, just know that our dispatchers are trained in what they're doing. They know exactly what information we need so that we can respond quickly and safely.
Right. If it's like a hit-and-run crash, if the person sees the crash and then one of the cars drives away, you know, as you said, Steve, the person on the other end of the line with, when these questions are being asked might think, well, you're going to let the driver get away, and that's not the case. There are multiple factors that go into it, but it's a multi-person process, and obviously, you know, with a hit-and-run crash, it might not be all that hard to find the striking vehicle depending on damage, right?
Absolutely. You know, and when we talk about, you know, what questions specifically dispatch is going to ask, they're always going to ask for a description of, you know, the person you're reporting. So we'll say that's our suspect. And those questions start out simply as, you know, the sex of the person, male, female, if you're able to tell, their race, their height. And this one is so many times, I think it just is hard to guess how tall a person is when you have no reference, because we'll get descriptions of people that, you know, that the witnesses say the suspect is 6'2", and then when we apprehend the suspect's 5'7". But there's a big gap there. But if you have a 5'7" individual with no reference or other people around them, well, maybe to you that appeared 6'2". So there's a little trick you can use, and I don't know if you notice, when you go to a lot of convenience stores, certainly almost every bank or credit union lending institution, when you walk out the doors, somewhere along the door frame, you will see a sticker. Sometimes it's multicolored, sometimes it's real obvious. It looks like a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
What that sticker is, that is for the employees that if something were to happen in a bank and they have a suspect that runs out, the last thing they look for is where they were on that sticker. And that, rather than them guessing how tall the person might have been, they can say, oh, he or she was right here on the sticker, and we can get a really accurate you know, description of height. Well, you can do the same thing out in public if you have any kind of vertical object, a tree, a light pole, maybe even the side of a house. If you look at where that person is standing and pick out a feature, something as simple as, well, they were just over that first branch, their head was just over that first branch, that's great, because we can go there and measure that and say we know exactly or pretty close to the, you know, height of a person that we're looking for. So a little tip there on height. You know, probably going to ask, you know, the weight, the kind of build, if you could see hair, what color it was, maybe a style, facial features. You know, they have a mustache, did they, you know, have a beard, clean shaven, all those kind of things. And then, you know, we talked about clothing, color. The thing with what really helps us are those physical descriptors, the height, the build, hair color, facial features. Because clothing is, we like clothing descriptions, right? That's the easiest thing to look for, but it's also the easiest thing for a criminal to get rid of quickly.
Right.
So someone, if we get a description, red jacket, you know, black jogging pants, that's a good description. But as this person is maybe fleeing from us, they can take off the red sweatshirt and underneath they have you know, a blue T-shirt. They take off the jogging pants because they're wearing shorts underneath. And now I drive by that, there's my suspect, but doesn't match the description. I may not be stopping that person.
Right.
But if I know I'm looking for a white male that's definitely over 6 feet and an approximate build, red hair, that really, really helps us, you know, in narrowing down who we're looking for.
Right. Most importantly, when people are calling in a witness thing, Steve, is there like one most important tip that you would say, like, just when making that call? Because a lot of people, obviously, you know, they know to call 911, but maybe they're a little bit apprehensive to do it.
Yeah.
Is there a tip you can give to those kind of people out there?
Great question. And it's simply this. remember, first and foremost, your safety comes first, and never be afraid to call the police, because crime prevention is everybody's responsibility. Yours, mine, the, you know, neighbor down the road, everybody. And with everybody's help, that's the only way we will keep our community safe.
Very good, Steve. Thanks as always. Have a great weekend.
Take care.